Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show on Mac, everything to do with Mac and Apple and iPhone and iPad and everything else that's fantastic. I've had a fantastic week because the wife's been away. I've had lacked a bit of motivation, it has to be said, though. I nearly phoned in sick for a job yesterday. I wanted to stay home. I want to go back to drinking with Will all day.
Shouldn't you have done the music at the start?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, fair enough.
That's all right. It got too much to be a pain in the ass, and I didn't put the video out. When I put the video out, we definitely will. But I need to talk to you about that afterwards because we've got the video might be going out soon. We'll have to wait and see. Big hush hush story that I'll have to tell you when we've stopped broadcasting even. The week in Mac, joined by the fantastic original panel of the Mac Show. It's good to have everyone back again. Will, glad you're back, mate, after missing last week.
Nice to be back.
Yes.
Nice to be back.
Top left, Don McAllister, the man that keeps us all sane and also well-informed. He's the only one that reads the news properly and has a decent opinion that seems to be true and accurate.
Well, I try to, you know, but someone's got to keep you lot in track, I suppose.
How's the week been?
It's been good. Yeah, I've been finishing off the migration to the new server, the UK2.net server.
Oh.
That's all gone swimmingly. Really impressed with the performance. It's the website now flies. It's really good. Mind you, that I also did get an upgrade to my broadband this week as well. So I've now got a 100 megabit connection, or megabits or megabytes. I'm never quite sure, but it's pretty damn fast anyway. So that's now in place and working. And just been sort of getting up to speed on Lion. Just put out this week's show, which is about Final Cut Pro 10 Part 2. It's the second part of a tutorial. I sort of held back deliberately on doing Lion stuff this week because I wanted to spend a little bit more time sort of preparing and getting stuff straight in my head, because there's an awful lot to cover when I do the Lion tutorials. So I'm sort of well stuck into preparing them. So yeah, been a busy week this week.
Good man. Back on as usual, though. Well done, mate. Next to him, Carl Swagger from Monsoon Swept, the Philippines. We don't ever talk about the weather when you come on, mate. There's always, you don't just have like a day where it's just grey and overcast, that's it. It's always got to be, it's either full on or full off, isn't it?
We have two seasons here. We have rain and we have summer.
And summer's usually stinking hot.
Usually, very humid and hot. This summer started out really, really hot, and then it got kind of mild, and then we got the rain in, and actually the last few days have actually been, 85 degrees has been kind of cool.
Now, you were struggling last week with the Lion switchover. How's it all gone this week?
It hasn't gone anywhere this week because lovely Apple here in the Philippines has decided that it takes 7 to 10 days to get the keyboard and the mouse. So nothing has shipped yet. Thank you, Apple.
But you put Lion on your old one, didn't you? Your Intel.
Yeah, the old one is working just fine. Everything's purring along with it, and the wife is ready for it. Actually, the wife was more upset than I was that the other one hasn't shipped yet because of the keyboard and mouse.
Well, yeah, because you got a Mac. She hasn't. Next, below him, we've got Dr. Happy Mac, looking unkempt. you look like you've been through a hedge backwards, dude, not shaved on the way. Has it been a busy week, mate?
It has been a bit busy, yes. Although I'm not, this week I'm back in the office rather than at my secondary office at Freeman Christie.
But we love them.
Yeah, we love them.
We love them. Freeman Christie, well done.
The weekly plug.
This, if you're thinking of getting any marketing, go and see Freeman Christie. They're awesome.
Have you been busy though? Really, with stuff, installs, and things going off this week. So I've been whizzing around. So
jolly good. Anyone famous?
No.
No.
Just us plebs, unfortunately.
That's all right. It's good money. And last but by no means least, Mr. Will Green.
Hello.
My drinking partner.
Yes, keeping you in tow, I was.
That studio's awesome, mate. The only problem is when you've been upstairs drinking all day, coming down those stairs, and also that bloody low beam.
Oh, you banged your head a few times, didn't you?
I got myself three. I got the last one was pretty good. I walked into it full pace. Six Guinnesses in and full pace into a low beam. Not good. But I'm all right now.
Good. That's good.
You did VAT yesterday, though, didn't you?
Was it yesterday or the day before?
Yeah.
Bit of both, really. Yes. Mm. So that's all done. And I looked, I'll tell you what I wanted to find. You know, if you're a techie, you'll find, if you've got something you really don't want to do, you'll find a techie excuse to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll do anything. And I thought, what I'll do is see if I can find, you know, like Delicious Library, when you scan your DVDs and stuff. And
yeah, yeah.
Tells you. I thought you could do the same with receipts. And what? I've just come up with it. This is genius.
You are Mr. Sad Database, though, aren't you?
Oh, I am Mr. Sad.
You tried to educate me to Withnail and I when I was drunk, and you got your iPad out to find the DVD in the cupboard.
My wife, when I initially did that, she was But the plan was, right, so you have...
You've written a DVDs. Whole frigging database on your iPad so that you can find something in your cupboard.
Yeah, but...
I wouldn't mind, but the cupboard's only 3 foot by 2 foot.
Think of all those DVDs, all that space it takes up. Just a simple tap into FileMaker Pro and you've got the DVD. But here's the point.
Do you know what, mate? How about storing them in order?
Yeah, but I've got a bit of adverts kicking off, if you can hear that, but I can't...
Well, switch it off.
She can't kill the volume on it.
Well, shut the video down.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
good idea.
Anyone looking for tech support,
yeah.
See Dr. Happy Mac.
But just to finish off my point, wouldn't it be a good idea if they put a barcode on a receipt or one of those little... sort of funny, squarey things that you get these days, and you could just scan it, and it would work out, you know, what category, how much it cost, what's VATable, and the date and everything else. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Well, the barcode's unique, isn't it? So it should be able to do that very easily. There you go, iPhone app.
It's a really good idea, isn't it?
That's a frigging brilliant idea, mate. I love it.
I'm a genius.
Yes. You'd have to see whether you've got the right barcode formatting and stuff for it, but it's a great idea. The week in Apple. We've all been struggling with Lion, except me, because I still haven't installed it. I'm promising I'm going to have a go this weekend if I get time. But time being not the issue, really. It's more kind of inclination. iPhone 5 rumours. Should we start with that and get it out of the way? Have we got an iPhone 5 coming in September, and are the pictures that we've seen this week truth or bullshit?
Yes and no.
We are getting an iPhone 5 in September.
Yes.
But they aren't the real McCoy.
No.
All right, that's the end of that then.
Yeah.
you haven't really grasped this panel show thing, have you yet, Carl?
Well, what are we going to say here and speculate about the guy sitting there holding, and obviously his hands look twice the size of his normal iPhone anyways from a 3GS. Did you see the pictures out this week?
Yeah. Do we honestly see the iPhone going back to plastic, though, having gone forward to glass from aluminium?
Got it. I hope not.
Don, I mean, we all prefer your opinion to everyone else's.
Yeah. Well, no, I think definitely we're going to see one in September. I don't think there's any doubt about that, really. It's just, I mean, they can't, I mean, come September, they normally have, you know, an event anyway. So there is going to be an event in November. Sorry, in September, or at least in the autumn, they always have an event where they release all the products that they're going to flog over Christmas. And, you know, with the iPod sort of rapidly diminishing and dying off because people are using their iPod touches and iPhones for their music consumption, they need a product that they can actually push for the holiday season. And, you know, they're going to bring out the next iPhone. Now, whether or not it's a brand new iPhone 5 and it's this new form factor, or whether or not it's this iPhone 4S, which has just had a speed bump and a few extra features, I'm not too sure. I probably think it will be an iPhone 5. I think it will be a brand new iPhone. They're going to have iOS 5 as well, so it's going to be a much faster phone. And I'm still hearing lots and lots about this voice, you know, the voice control and some clever things they're going to do with voice. So I would imagine we'll see some of that in there as well. So I would say yes.
So the chat room's already rebelling, mate. They want a date.
A date. Someone's mentioned the 5th of September, I think, so.
You're saying 5th of September?
Yeah, something like that.
And it will be a 5, not a 4S?
I think it will be a 5, because they've taken so long. You know, it's been so long since they launched the iPhone that, you know, I think it's given them enough time to create a brand new radical departure from what they've had before.
Andrew, what's your view?
I think they've been a wee bit busy with other things. I think the most we're going to get is an iPhone 4S, if that. I reckon no iPhone 5 next year.
Ah, see? I told you, Greeny.
What?
I said it was going to be a... we wouldn't get a brand new iPhone handset until February.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that because Don's always right, and I didn't want you to be humiliated in a couple of months.
See, I reckon that you've got we were talking the other week about the touch coming with a 3G card in it. I reckon that's just data enabling. I don't think that's for calls at all. The only calls you're going to get on that are going to be Skype or Fring calls. You're not going to get network calls on it. It's just going to be data. It's going to be a mini micro iPad.
It's possible. I just don't know. I see everything around this 5 thing. they're really hyping the 5 thing, you know, the iOS 5. I think we'll see iPhone 5. And I think I'm still going with my gut feeling here that we're going to see a 4.5-inch screen, bigger iPhone. We're getting so many Android devices out there right now. They have such bigger screens. People are liking these, but they're not wanting that small form tablet. The 7-inch just didn't do it. The Galaxy Tab didn't do it. The BlackBerry Playbook isn't doing it right now. We've already heard Steve say before that he's not going that direction. I look for a bigger iPhone, 4.5-inch screen. I actually think Don's probably onto something there. Probably the 5th of September. I think this whole 5 is this sort of psychedelic vibe, man.
Yeah, but they've never released iOS and handset together and called them the same, have they? Haven't done it yet.
Always a first.
Yeah, the serendipity of it.
Yeah, they have released iOS, new versions of iOS and the iPhone at the same time, though, haven't they?
Yes, but it's not been. They've not tied the numbers together or anything.
No, I think.
Oh, I've got Don guessing.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, we won't see. We won't see another iPad.
No, I don't think there'll be another iPad. I agree with that.
Because I think they'll keep to the February, April, you know, February, March, April for the iPad. So, you know, winter will now be the iPhone, and the iPad's going to be the first quarter of the following year. I can't see them launching both together within a short time of each other. It just wouldn't be sensible.
Have you all had a go with the 4-inch screens on HTC and Samsung and those kind of things?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. It's nice to have the real estate, honestly. And when you They're hold gorgeous. A phone like that, oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, they look the screens look great. The Samsungs are looking really, really good, to be honest. That real estate's just really nice. And when I pick up the iPhone, I love how it looks, but I'm really thinking we need a little bit more real estate on this phone.
I think it would be nice to have an iPhone 5. It would be nice to have a bigger screen. It'd be nice to have a thinner phone. It'd be nice to have a lot of stuff. But I think that the days when Apple could launch a product in their old style dead secrecy, and you know, particularly 1 month from launch could open up, you know, have an event and say, this is the new iPhone, this is what it looks like. These are gone. And I think that, you know, they've got factories all over China. They've got their security is good, but it's not leak proof anymore. And it's just the same thing. There is nothing, absolutely nothing about the iPhone 5 and a new form factor, except for the usual guesses and CGI mock-ups. And I think that's the telling thing. If there is an iPhone 5, it's just going to be a speed bump, which they could possibly keep under wraps. If there was going to be an iPhone 5 by now, we would know more or less what it looked like.
There's some comments in the chat room here. Mattbits is saying some code in Lion hinting at bigger Retina displays. What's the influence of that on the iPhone itself as opposed to the iPad, perhaps?
Well, it's always good if you're writing the operating system. It's always good to write some stuff in to future-proof things. If you know it's going to happen, it's in your roadmap for next year or the year after, you know, you want to be getting that done whilst you're getting it done. I don't think it points to anything immediate.
Now, the stuff in Line, I think, is more to do with the resolution independence, the technology whereby you can have a huge screen, but if you have a huge screen and sort of map it pixel by pixel, you know, your icons become very tiny and your writing becomes very tiny. But they put some code in there, I think, so that you can have a great big 2560 screen, but still run it at a reasonable resolution, but it's much more clearer. It's like the Retina display on the iPhone. You know, it's a big screen, but they do this resolution independence, so you can still run it at lower resolutions, but they're sort of enhanced because they can map it to multiple pixels, if you see what I mean. But so that, I don't think that's anything to do really with the iPhone or the iPad. That's more what's coming ahead in Line when they get to some of the new displays that they'll be bringing out in the near future.
Boniface apparently has said that the 5th of September is a US holiday, therefore she doesn't think that's the launch date.
Well, I've changed it to the 23rd now. I pulled that out of the same place that I pulled the 5th out of, so...
15th.
Other people 15th. Saying that 4.5 inches is more clunky, but I've got to say, having had a go with the HDC HD2, the bigger screen is lovely. And the key part is when you put your phone in your pocket and you sit down, it's the length of the phone relative to the bottom of the pocket and the crease in your hip. Because if you get to more than sort of 6 or 7 inches, there's no way that that's going to crease and not be uncomfortable when you sit down.
And I'd be happy with that.
The iPhone 5, if it had an extra inch... I'm losing this conversation already, aren't I? An extra inch never does any harm, is what I'm saying.
Never does.
No,
never
absolutely. Does. Oh, I hate these earphones. Question of the chat room is 6 or 7 inches uncomfortable. Oh, we got a title anyway. Apple are going to go Barnes and Noble. What do you reckon? Truth or bull?
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue why they would. They want the Nook e-reader, which I just don't... That's like saying...
Why would they want the Nook e-reader?
I bought a gold shovel to pick up a dog turd. I mean, it's just not... I don't get that at all.
Is it really called that?
What, a dog turd?
No, a Nook
e-reader.
The Nook...
It's a Nook e-reader.
N-O-O-K, Nook e-reader. You wanted Nookie. Yes, okay.
I thought it was a Nookie reader.
It's got a wide range of porn books and nothing else.
Niche marketing's where it's at these days.
Why on earth would Apple buy Barnes & Noble? I mean, they're going to go out of business soon enough anyway, aren't they? Pick them up for a pound then.
Maybe that's why they want the store space, so they can just, you know, when they kick all their crap out, they can just move in, put up more Apple stores.
Oh, no, that's a good point. Market cap at $1 billion, a small dent in Apple's $76 billion. A high-stake premium takeover. So they just want the store real estate.
It's possible. No, I mean, I wouldn't think so, because they from e-books.
Yeah, the problem is with that, though, is it's that they would be sites that Barnes & Noble had chosen, not sites necessarily that Apple would choose, because they do, you know, a lot of time and a lot of money actually buying really, really... you know, amazing places to put their Apple stores. I'm sure they wouldn't just go with what somebody else had decided was a good location for a store. I just think it's a complete BS. I don't think it's anything in it at all.
Well, talking of which, they've actually bought, they're in negotiations, final negotiations for a spot at Grand Central Station, aren't they?
Yeah, that finally came through.
Yeah.
Because there was talk about it a couple of months ago and it all fell through, but now they've, have they taken out a 10-year deal or something at $800,000 per annum, I think, to actually get a prime spot.
Steve in the chat room's questioning your knowledge of Apple's choice of sites, saying, have you been to Meadowhall?
No, I haven't, I must admit, but they normally do sort of take some time to find a good location.
Right, Grand Central Station is going to be the biggest one, isn't it? It's the biggest store in the world, I reckon. And when they launch a product, forget trying to get a train, I would have said. The queues will be out the door, around the concourse and around Melman's clock. But there we go.
Anytime but there's an event, for sure, yeah.
The actual stores they've got are the, correct me if I'm wrong, but are they not the most profitable per square foot in retail history?
Yeah, I think the Covent Garden store held that accolade for quite a while, and then I think someone's taken it over again now, haven't they? Someone stateside's taken it over.
Well, it was... Originally, when they launched it, the record was Tiffany's in New York was the most profitable per square foot.
Yeah.
And then Apple came along and almost, you know, 10 times that.
And their product line's about the same as Apple's, really, isn't it? In terms of price.
Yeah.
Did you see this morning, I don't know if this is an upgrade to the prices this morning, but the Apple store went down and came back up. And a Mac Pro, I only just noticed it, is £2,041 as a starting price.
Well... No, they've always been around about that, Mark. I had a look at the MacBook Airs because I noticed you tweeted that they'd gone up in price, but the MacBook Airs seem to be the same as they were before.
Yeah.
The
Well, I kind of regularly go on and suss out, you know, which are the best options for the video machine when I actually finally get one. And that comes in at a lot more expensive than it did last week,
thought.
But we'll have to wait and see. But
you can thank the dollar for that.
Well, I don't think it's. I don't think it's anything to do with it, to be honest. This price, the currency balancing issue is just a bit of a red herring to try and get you to think that there's something going on that there isn't, because I don't think it's that much of a difference.
You know, I'm beginning to think sometimes something is niggling me that it sort of pinged in my head when I suddenly thought, hang on a minute, the MacBook's sort of dead. And I'm sort of thinking the same thing. I wouldn't, you know, this perpetual, the upgrade to the pros is coming. I'm not sure. Every time the Apple Store goes down, I keep expecting to come back up without the Mac Pros.
Yeah, and a new X serve on instead.
No, not even, no, not that either. I think we can kiss that one goodbye as well. I think one day it'll come back and there'll be a big gap where the pros used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, Matt Bits has made a good point in the chat room here. You're talking about a £500 increase on the base level machine for the Mac Pros.
It's not even in,
since 2008. It's not even the best computer that they make, no.
It's not even the best computer that anyone makes.
No.
It's like, you'd be, it's the one machine that Apple make that you would seriously be better off with a Dell.
When Michael calls, I'll tell him you said that.
Yeah.
Better off on a Dell. There we go.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, there's nothing. What does it, seriously, what does a Mac Pro offer somebody?
Well, I think unless you're talking about being at the very high end, and if you look at the what's the one, the 12 core version, I mean, that's really seriously. It starts at $4,500 or something.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The multiple processors are a big deal, you know, if you're doing sort of heavy lifting, especially in video encoding and stuff. But it's also, you know, the niche markets as well, where they need expansion cards and stuff. But that's going to go away, you know, now that we've got Thunderbolt. The need to have, you know, 4 expansion slots in your Mac Pro. You know, there's not really going to be a need to do that because they can get all these fancy peripherals now, Thunderbolt, or they will eventually be Thunderbolt enabled, so you can just connect them all by a single cable and don't have to actually physically insert these expansion cards in your Mac Pro. So, you know, I would imagine when the next Mac Pro comes out, I think we've touched on this before, it's going to be much smaller, perhaps, and there mightn't even be any expansion slots, and that might be the delay in bringing the Mac Pro out. You know, they're waiting until the peripheral market catches up so that they've got all the Thunderbolt enabled gear, and then just ship a Mac Pro with multiple processors but no expansion cards, because you won't really need them. But of course then we'll get the whole thing about, oh, I've got to go ahead and rebuy all my peripherals now because Apple have done this draconian thing of taking away all my expansion slots. But
is that going to come out as a cube then next?
Could be.
The Mac Cube reborn. So I mean, we're going to say Mac Pro is going to stay or go, Don?
Oh, it's definitely going to stay but in a completely different form to what we've got now.
Right. Kyle?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I have to say, I think the Mac Pro is really just aimed at, it's at a completely different audience now. I mean, I guess it kind of always has been, but you get a lot of people out there that are, I think it's all about the software a lot of times in the end when you know, that's why you're seeing Hackintoshes, I think. A lot of people just want that Apple operating system. But yeah, I agree. It's going to stay around.
Okay. Andrew?
Nope.
It's going to go.
Stay around.
Why is it going to go?
I just think it's outlived its usefulness, its purpose. I mean, yes, there's always going to be a niche, somebody that wants like massive processing power, massive horsepower, bit of expansion and things, but that's just tiny. I mean, 10 years ago, the G4, G5, all these Tower Macs that are Apple's history and design, they were the ones that the majority, 90% of the pro market for, all the designers, all the photographers, all the architects, all the illustrators, all those people, all the lightweight video editors, all the sort of medium-sized video editors and the music studios, all those people bought Towers. Now, all those people buy iMacs. And once Thunderbolt kicks in, that's all they'll ever need. And they'll be left with that one person in 10,000 that goes, hang on a minute, I want to run blah, 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 blah. And Apple will say, well, you better go and get yourself a massive multi-processing PC then.
Yeah, I mean, a completely tricked out Mac Pro at the moment costs you £10,500, roughly. That's with max memory, all the cards, a 512 startup disk, and then 2 terabyte drives in the rest.
If you're running
a
really high-end studio and render farms and stuff like that, then you'll be running PCs, and I think Apple will be happy to wave goodbye to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends really what the market is. I completely agree with Andrew that, you know, the market for the Mac Pro has declined significantly, but it's whether or not it's still worth it for Apple to create these machines, and if they still need to pander to a sort of pro market. You know, are there still people who will go for the pro brand and, you know, the biggest, most expensive Mac you can buy because of the just because that's what they want?
They do cater for
are there enough people to actually make that a valid proposition for Apple?
The 95% of the pro market is still illustrators, designers, photographers, and they cater perfectly well for those with Mac Minis and iMacs.
I can say that, that the Mac Mini chews up Photoshop at the moment. Absolutely chews it up. There's no need for anything more powerful, and that's my old Mac Mini. Will, what's your view?
What did Don say?
He said stay, but it was going to turn into a cube. Well, I kind of paraphrased that a bit.
It's okay. Well, I think it's going to stay, but turn into a cube.
Might be a cube. That was you. It might be a bigger Mac Mini or something. Or it's going to be a different form factor.
I think it's going to be a bigger Mac Mini or something. Possibly a different form factor.
Well, there's a comment just came up in the chat room that was the one that I was going to make. You're talking about Apple moving away from the pro apps to a large degree, or making the higher end apps more consumerable. This machine is way outside the scope of the software that they're selling, and it's way outside the scope of the clientele that they're currently pandering to with Lion and with the pro app sales. So why wouldn't Pro disappear?
Oh, it's 10 Panda.
Because of the Panda.
Yes. I can't imagine. I think that the place they are right now, the Mac Pro isn't good for anybody really, but it has to change, isn't it? It has to become either one or two things. Either it has to become rack mountable or they're going to kill it. That's the way I see it.
And I just don't see it. There's no way that things like rack mountable and things even feature in Apple's vocabulary anymore.
No, I think they would have upgraded the X-Serve if they were going to stick to a rack-mounted format. I think that's not going to happen. I go with either the Cube or it's going to be at Bind, and I personally would go with Bind.
So when is OS 10 Panda coming out then? When was that, Will?
It's OS 10.11.
10.11
Panda. 2012. The Age of Aquarius is when it's coming out.
Is it going to tie in with the Chinese Year of the Rat or something? Or no?
Well,
is there a Chinese Year of the Panda? Don't you think that's going to be... Because if OS 11 is going to be Panda, I think there's only one kind of variant of Panda, isn't there? So it's kind of like there's not going to be 10.2. There's a what Panda?
There's a red Panda.
Okay, so that's OS 10. That's OS 11 2.
Yeah, but they're all bears, aren't they? Is a Panda a bear?
No.
I saw like a good banana screenshot a couple of days ago. It's going to be OS 10 Sea Lion. Sea Lion.
Oh, a bit of feedback. Never mind. Is there any more news to talk about? Because there wasn't really a lot to start with. Office. No? Go on, Andrew. Go on.
New boxes for all the stuff that wasn't launched last week. So the Mac Mini and the other one, the Air.
Right.
But all the new Macs, the other Macs, the MacBook Pro and etc., all come in new boxes with the Lion desktop on the front.
Ooh.
And no install thing. But interestingly, although you open the box and you get no install of Lion because Apple have removed that from the packaging, they don't support, because they're the old machines, they don't support the boot from the internet feature that the Air and the Mini do because they're older models. So they're actually shipping you a Mac that you can't do the remote recovery from and you don't get any recovery media with. So people that buy those are kind of living on the knife edge there.
Well, can't you just roll back to Snow Leopard if you've got the disk and then go from there with the...
No, you can't. No Mac ever runs on an operating system older than the one that it ships with. It won't boot in it.
You're having a laugh. So I can't stick my Snow Leopard disk into a new machine?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
That's not totally true.
Oh, go on then, Will.
I know, because I used to have these problems doing training, and it is true. So if you buy a new Mac, the operating system that ships with your Mac is the operating system that's sort of meant to run on it, and you can upgrade. Now, you can downgrade, but you do get some glitches. You can get some very funny behaviours going on. So you can sort of downgrade, but it will give you a few problems along the way.
Now, I had heard that the new MacBook Airs and the new Mac Minis, you can't run Snow Leopard on them.
Right.
No, you can't run
because they just won't accept it. But I mean, I'm sure in the past I have done on older Macs. I don't know if this is something new that they've just brought in with these new models.
No, the way it works is that if you buy a Mac from Apple and it ships with, say, 10.6.3, and then you upgrade to 10.6.8 or whatever, you can always downgrade back down to 10.6.3. But you couldn't, if you had a 10.6.0 install disk, that wouldn't boot that Mac.
Oh, that's true. If it comes with a 10.6.0 disc that ships with a Mac, except if you buy the full retail version, because it's the point was that the installation disc is tied. The installation disc that comes with the Mac is tied to that Mac. However, if you get a full retail version, it then is compatible with a greater spectrum of Macs.
Me, that was geeky.
Yeah, but yes, but the basic thing is if you buy a brand new one as well, which comes with
go on, bring it on, go on.
You lost me. Go on, bet it. I just wanted a yes or a no, not all that.
No, you can't boot the new ones into Snow Leopard because they with Lion.
The chat room's gone off into talking about prices again now. They lost it as well.
Hey, there's something else, though, that's happened recently with the new Lion, and that's the availability of iLife, because you know, you used to have iLife pre-installed.
Yes. Well,
apparently now you don't. You actually get a redemption code to install iLife from the Mac App Store, but it only gives you the ability to install iPhoto, iMovie, and something else. It doesn't include iDVD and iWeb.
So, could you still
get a new Mac now? You can't. You don't get iDVD or iWeb.
So, if you've got iLife 09 or iLife 11, you can presumably install from the disk. Yeah. Okay.
But if you get a brand new Mac, you just get redemption codes for the Mac App Store to download the individual components, which doesn't include iDVD and iWeb.
Well, iWeb's not in the store either, though, is it?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
But neither is iDVD. I don't believe that's in the store either. So you can't actually get them.
Well, why would you try and settle that piece of crap?
Have you noticed that library folder is missing from your home folder now with Lion?
Well, it's hidden.
Well, yeah, it's hidden, but you know.
But you can get, even though it's invisible, you can get to it from the Go menu in the Finder, can't you?
You can, yeah. But the trouble I had, I was trying to grab some stuff from my library folder from a Time Machine backup from Snow Leopard, but because you're using Lion, it even hides your library folder from your Snow Leopard Time Machine backups. And the only way I could see of doing it is doing a bit of cunning Unix stuff and doing the, you know, show all job. And
all I know is show
hidden
I'm
files.
Depressed now.
Why are you depressed, mate?
Because I can't do anything about my Mac if I want to downgrade, and if I do, it's buggy, and I can't go back a certain point. And that, I don't know. Just really depressed all of a sudden. It's like, my God, it doesn't seem right, does it? You sit there and you bought something, you paid, particularly if it's a Mac Pro, you paid a heck of a lot of money for it, and you're telling me that I couldn't put Tiger on the damn thing if I wanted to.
No, you can't put anything on there. According to what Andrew's just saying, you can't put anything on there other than the newest operating system or beyond.
Yeah, look for that Windows catalog.
Your problem, Kyle, is it's always dark where you are. Every time we talk, it's always dark.
It's always dark.
Always dark.
That's because I'm on the other side of the world.
You're also in the equator, aren't you? So, I mean, that doesn't help.
Yeah, that doesn't help at all, no.
So you get shorter days.
But he's nearer to the sun.
Yeah, that's why it's stinking hot.
So it's always dark and very hot. Dark and hot.
Just like your chocolate.
Shouldn't say that.
No, it's not always dark and hot. It's always hot, that's for sure.
What, just like your chocolate? I can't say the word chocolate. Give over.
Gotta add milk to it.
Drummer in the chat room wants to know, would I be able to put on Windows 3.11 for work groups on my i7? And Mark suggesting we all have a group hug for Kyle. Oh,
thank you.
Office for Mac. Anyone use Office for Mac?
No. Nope. Well, I've got it, but
I use Excel now and again because it still beats the pants off numbers.
Oh, I don't know.
Pivot tables.
Oh, okay. Don't do pivot tables. So that's
big,
what I'm not
big, big spreadsheets is one of the huge spreadsheets that numbers tends to choke a little bit on them.
So despite the fact that the Lion development tool has been out there for the best part of probably 6 months, Mac have decided that they're only just starting to develop Office for Mac, and it is going to come with all the features that are enabled within Lion. However, it is several months away, thanks to the end of Rosetta support.
And thanks to Microsoft.
Is there anything else we want to talk about? Because that's it.
I, sorry.
Go ahead.
I missed out on last week's podcast, and Lion is something new to me, and I'm enjoying it. What's the after a week or two, is it 2 weeks maybe of it been released, what's everyone's opinion?
Don?
Yeah, well, I really like it. I've pretty much upgraded everything now to Lion. Even my main production machine that I still use Final Cut Pro 7 on. I did have a few problems with my Drobo. I used a Drobo connected using iSCSI, and that just didn't work. It was causing me all sorts of grief.
But that was a Drobo issue, though, wasn't it, Don?
Pardon?
That was a Drobo kind of fault rather than Lion.
It was, yeah, there's something wrong with the iSCSI implementation. But yeah, there's an incompatibility between Lion and Drobo, but switched it over to FireWire, and that's working fine now. But I really like the... provided an application has been lionized, you know, provided it's been written to work with Lion, I really like the autosave and versioning side of thing. I think that's going to be quite a game changer, really, and that works really well.
Kyle?
Yeah, I agree with Don, and it's particularly on the autosave. It's nice. I like it. It's prettier. It's I actually think it's a little faster, honestly. I've noticed some, yeah, after I've actually been able to get into it with using particularly audio mastering software this week, I'm finding it just seems to move along a lot smoother than Snow did. Other than that, though, I can't say that I'm completely ecstatic about it yet, though, I have to say. I still feel like I'm missing a few things. I don't know why. I guess it's because how I installed it. I don't know why. I just didn't get the same buzz as I did going, you know, picking up the disc and all that.
But now you installed it on a 2009 Mac Mini. 2010 Mac Mini.
It's a Core 2 Duo, yeah.
Right, so you did an install or you did a clean install, an upgrade or a clean install?
What I did was an upgrade to begin with. This is the funny thing about it. I did an upgrade to begin with. Everything was fine, but none of the necessity things were being recognized, you know, audio, hardware, these kind of things. So over the weekend, I completely stripped everything back, did a clean install from Snow, and then did the steps to go back up to the upgrade to Lion, and then it worked. And then I watched Don's video, and then that would have saved me a lot of time.
Andrew, have you played with it?
I don't know what to say.
What?
Have you played with Lion?
I am a professional. I don't play with it.
Have you analysed Lion?
Yeah, I've had a good old go with it.
And have you broken it?
No, it's very good. All the bits that are really good are the bits that nobody's interested in, really. You know, as Don said, it's all the versioning and the auto-saving and all the stuff like that is going to be the real game changer. And all the eye candy that everyone went, oh, it does works like an iPad, and oh, it's got Launchpad, and oh, it's got the other one, Mission Control. It's like, I had a look at that, I haven't used it since, and I use it exactly the same way as I use Snow Leopard, and all the bits that make any sense and are worth doing are the hidden bits.
Right, okie doke. Now, Will, you had a bit of a problem, didn't you? Because when I was there watching your computer on Tuesday, you did a restart on it, and it was the weirdest behaviour I've ever seen.
Oh, it was mad. It just, I got to, in the end, I gave up. And again, following the wonderful screencast online, I whacked Lion on a USB stick and did a clean install from that. While we're talking about this, and so if you haven't watched Don's thing, I think one of the key things is if you go to Tesco and buy a USB stick is... you can format it if you want to, but the key thing is to go into repartition it and make sure it's like a GUID, GUID partition table, and then format it. That might help, just as a bit of a techie bit. Once you've done that...
What purpose is that going to...
It seems to be not... Well, it just doesn't work if you don't do that. So just... Because every USB stick is formatted for... FAT32 or NTFS or something like that. And so if you format it on your computer, this might not be Snow Leopard, but it's certain because at the time I was running Lion and it didn't seem to be very happy and it didn't do it particularly well. So just create a new partition, make sure that partition in the little options button is set to GUID and happy days, really. So I did that. And the other thing is you have to format it using your Snow Leopard disk, and then I re-downloaded the operating system, whacked it onto the USB stick, then rebooted it on using my Snow Leopard disk, then formatted it again using my Snow Leopard disk, and then told it to use the, you know, what startup volume do you want to use? I want to use the Lion startup volume on your USB disk, USB stick, and then it worked really well. And I compare the differences from an upgrade to a clean install with the upgrade. I know it's daft, but things like the old screensavers and the old wallpapers were brought across. With the new install, it wasn't. With the upgrade, it behaved like an absolute dog. But with the new version, it works absolutely fantastically. So, but my recommendation, if you're having problems, is go for a clean install.
Okay. Wise words.
Thank you. The only problem with, I mean, I like doing that, but it's just a pain getting everything back over, though, isn't it? It just takes so long. I mean, I must admit, I've not had that many issues with the machines that I've actually upgraded. The major issue I had was on one machine, the mail wouldn't actually work properly. It wouldn't convert the mail database, so I had to go in and just delete the mail folder within the library, and then rerun it, and it all worked after that. But I like fresh installs, but you know, it's just so labor intensive to bring everything back across and set everything up again. It's a pain.
Yeah, think about it, Don. Though you haven't got a fresh install. That's not a Virgin machine you're working with there.
True.
It's been tainted. It's a tainted machine, and you always know that. You'll always know underneath that surface, a Snow Leopard. That's right.
When you kiss it, you'll get a funny metallic taste in your mouth. When you lick
it's
it,
just like it's not good. Always go to the install.
We are really seeing a different side of Will today. The very geeky, held within, deep in the bowels.
Well, my geeky side does come out with such a huge, momentous thing as a new operating system. The other stuff, the library folder lack of was, I thought, a bit irritating.
Because you lost your photos I took for you.
Yeah, exactly. I had to dig in deep to find them. The full screen thing is a bit strange. So if you do full screen aperture, it doesn't seem to work particularly well. It's like... So if you've had applications that were full screen before you went to Lion, which does full screen, then you've got sort of this two full screen things. Have you seen iTunes? If you're on a video full screen and it's like full screen, but not full screen. And then you have to do like full screen twice.
Really?
Yeah. It's mad. Doesn't work very well. What else we got? What else can I slag off about it?
It was like you actually wanted to be nice about it at the start, but no, I got that wrong entirely, clearly.
Well, no, it's a combination, really. I think it's very good. It is, for me, the most momentous change in Apple OS X versions for 5 years, I'd say. It's pretty huge. Using a laptop, it works brilliantly, using a trackpad and stuff. With a desktop, it's a bit of a pain in the arse, isn't it? All these gestures and stuff like that. Because the mouse gesture things is, you know, the magic mouse is crap, isn't it? So when you combine that with this new sort of gesture driven operating system, it's a bit dicey. And also is another thing, when you do your four fingers or three fingers up, how come I can't reorganize those spaces? Why can't I reorganize those into the order that I want them to be?
I don't know, mate.
Well, I don't know either. It's blooming disgrace. But other than that,
there you go. There's a face only a mother could love.
Oh, well, there I am. Will, my mother does love my
Will face. Combed his hair and shaved, as you can see.
I know. I should have done that, shouldn't I? I should have had a shower and a shave, shouldn't I? And iron my shirt as well. Why didn't I iron my shirt?
And there he is with the famous, nay, infamous Watson.
That's come up yet.
Man and his dog in harmony.
Oh, there he is. Isn't he beautiful?
He is. He's a lovely, lovely dog, mate. Apart from the fact he wanted to pull me shoelaces out all the time and wanted to bite me constantly, but in a friendly way.
Yes.
Apart from that,
sure, that's
fine.
Not Will you're talking about.
And if you wondered what Will's studio looks like through a wide-angle lens, there you go. That's where British Mac is made each week. And that's a Guinness carton on the bottom, on the floor there, that Watson chewed to pieces. So that was good audio, wasn't it?
We demolished that Guinness, though, didn't we? Christ.
Mate, it didn't stand a chance. It was done. You were very kind. You stepped aside and went to the red wine and let me finish the Guinness. So I can't thank you enough.
And then we went to a curry house. I said, okay, I'll show you the posh curry house. And the curry was and it was ridiculously expensive.
It was 15 quid for a main course in a curry house.
I know. And I said, you and I can't leave without, you know, because I thought it'd be impolite just to walk out. So I said, you fake an illness. Oh!
He got me to fake a stomach illness so that we could leave without him feeling guilty because he has to live there. Well, it's all right if they don't like you, isn't it? It's if they don't like me. God, I'm screwed. It's my hometown.
You did it very well.
I did. I was very good. I'm good at feigning illness. Oh.
Yeah. And then we went to the next curry house, you told them where we'd been.
Yeah. I told them what a bastard you'd been.
It's a matter of honour. You've dissed me.
You clearly have none. What can I say? Before we go any further, I want to plug our shirts because I got a dispatch notice for mine yesterday, so I'm hoping they're going to arrive during photo or they're going to come tomorrow morning. If you want to support the Bagel Tech Network, then instead of just sending us some money blankly, which you're more than welcome to do, don't get me wrong, go to PayPal and donate to bageltechnews@gmail.com and you can send us all the money you like. But I'd rather you add something for it, to be honest. So buy yourself some shirts. If you go to these people, spreadshirt.co.uk, go to bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk. There's a whole pile of designs in there that you can buy. And when you buy them, for everyone that's sold, £5 goes to Bagel Tech. There you go. Someone said yesterday that I asked how much people thought we were getting as a donation, and they thought we were getting £10. These are really good quality shirts, and they're really bloody expensive to start with. So we're not ripping you off. We're only getting a fiver out of the sale of the shirts. So if you want to give us a fiver and you fancy a shirt with some stuff on it, then please go and buy them at bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk. And there's some on there with Will's name on as well, and some witty statements. Show me your cool thingy. So on that note, have we got any cool thingies? Don?
Right, a cool thingy. Well, I tell you what, something that just has been updated literally within the past couple of hours, and that is one of my favourite text editors, Envy Alt. So Envy Alt is a free text editor. It's a plain text editor, but a couple of nice things. First off, it integrates with SimpleNote, so that if you have a SimpleNote database, and SimpleNote is something that works on the iPad and the iPhone, and is a web service as well, so you can sort of synchronize all your text notes across all your different devices, and Envy Alt works with it perfectly. It sort of synchronizes that database, and it has full support for Markdown, which is my favorite formatting sort of language for text files. So Envy Alt, it's just come out at version 2.1.
But it's simple.
Really easy to use, yeah. And if you're into Markdown, it has a built-in preview window as well, so you can see how your Markdown is looking as you're typing away. And lots of new features. Apparently there's a new version coming out very, very shortly, now that 2.1 is out. 2.2 is out soon with full line support. This has got sort of limited line support, but it's well worth a look at if you do a lot of text editing.
Excellent. Excellent news. Good pick. Free is good. Talking of free, Carl Swagger.
Actually, mine's not free today.
Oh, what?
It's really not free today. It's near free. It's 99 cents. It's called LED Football. And I was feeling nostalgic this week. I don't know if you can see that on the video or not.
Just tilt it forwards a bit.
So anyways, because NFL, as you can hear, this thing is actually a game from the 70s. And my dad actually used to have one. He used to play with it when I was a kid. And they've essentially recreated the entire thing for the iPhone. I think it's been out for quite some time, but I found it this week. And because of the NFL, meaning the American Football League, is finally off lockout. They're out of strike. I don't know. It's feeling nostalgic, and I bought this little app this week. 99 cents, and I've been playing it all week long. It is addicting as Angry Birds to me, and I love it.
Excellent, excellent pick. What did you say the price was? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
99 cents. 99 so it's cents. Almost free.
Excellent. Not bad at all. Andrew, what have you got for us, mate? Hello?
Hello?
Andrew, yes, you remember me?
Yes, I remember you.
We're doing the cool thingy, mate. Sorry to interrupt your contemplations there, but
I've been whizzing along on my iPhone, and I do like a lot of forums and things, and I've got a little forum app which I use called Tapper Talk, which has been my week's live-in app.
Right.
forums is great on the go. It's down, it's reversed, isn't it? It's going to go mental. Anyway, Tapper Talk, it's really good. If you've got, it's compatible with loads and loads of different forums, and you just log into all your different forums in one place. So if you've got sort of like four or five tech support forums or whatever forums, golf forums, or and then they're all listed and you can just flick between them. And if you're out and about and you don't want to have to, you know, you've got a weak signal, you don't want to have to load up the whole sort of forum in Safari, you can just go to it and you can click on it and you can see all the unread posts and you can just do a little
very good
thing. Yes, I've been living in it because it's made my life much simpler with regards to keeping track of posts and things throughout the day.
Excellent. Have you got a link for the chat room or was it dead easy?
It's pretty easy. It's just in the iTunes App Store.
Right, okay. Will.
47. It's not free. It's a bit specialised, but if you do use forums, it is great.
Right, Will. Now, you weren't here last week, and you were telling me beforehand that you took a bit of umbrage at our selections.
Not umbrage. I mean, but Christ, I mean, three of you had Lion as your cool thingy of the week.
Well, that I got to say, I was disappointed at that myself. I did make comment.
Hell, I mean,
mine was the Mac Mini.
What was mine? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
I think it was Lion.
Therein lies the point. None of us can actually remember what the pick was. So I think Will's wins on that basis alone.
Oh, it's probably QuickTime Pro, wasn't it?
No fanboys here.
I came to the end. I listened to it. I thought I'll listen to this, see what it's like. And when it came to the cool thing was that we had two Lions, QuickTime Pro and the Mac Mini. Oh, yeah. Christ. I mean, what's it all about?
I didn't. I picked stick cricket.
Have you seen they've got stick golf out now?
Have they?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, that's me. Guess what my recommendation is this week?
So I'm pleased to return this week.
So that you can raise the tone. No pressure here, mate.
Raise the tone. It's called Wiccan Wheel of the Year.
Go on.
Well, I'm quite into this sort of stuff. And the Wiccan Wheel of the Year will cost you 59 or 69 pence. And it's a little clock. I'll do the video there.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Looks like a bit of a cricket field with a line.
I'll tell you what, if I was going to make an application, I mean, this is going to be, it's bloody awful, actually. I mean, it's just this big arrow thing that goes around this big star. And there's, how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight Wiccan festivals. And you see the little arrow pointing to the next coming festival, and then you click on it. So the next one is Lammas, which is the Greater Sabbat, and it's the start of autumn and the first time of the first harvest.
And you're thinking this is better?
Well, it's better. It's like it's got something about it, hasn't it? I mean, it's it even tells you that the symbol is a triangle.
Better than a Mac Mini.
It's a you know, Lion's looking pretty good right now.
Lion's looking pretty excellent, mate. Yeah.
if I can be totally serious about this,
did you know?
Go on. Please.
You've just recommended that there's a stick golf game. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there is a Superman stick golf game or Stickman golf game, right? And it looks crap. But did you know there's an album as well?
No.
There's an album. There you go, that's the Super Stickman golf theme. And you can buy it that costs you 79 pence in the iTunes store.
Is that like an not even an in-app purchase?
No, it's an actual album. The whole album's £7.90. Other such classics such as that's called New Lostrum. This one's called Funkier Town.
You gotta love 8-bit. Fantastic.
I actually quite like that one.
Yeah.
Moonbase. And there's one called The Woods as well. There There you go.
Sounds like Brookside.
That's my pick sorted this week. It does sound like Brookside, doesn't it? Yeah. Brookie, hey. Hey, calm down.
Hey.
Hey.
Steady on.
£7.90, available in the iTunes store, Super Stick Golf, the album. The sorted.
Album. Right. Can I do my Don McAllister impression?
Yeah, go on then.
Oh, no.
Is that available in FLAC?
Do you need a drum roll? Is it available in FLAC? 8-bit FLAC.
8-bit FLAC. Yeah, great. I'm downloading it now then. I want the utmost sound quality.
Matt Mitch in the chat room recommending Rolf Harris's Best of Xylophone Hits. Equally good. Come on, we're going to get this. Come on, Green, let's have it.
Don, you promise you won't be offended?
No. Well, I hope not, anyway.
No, he doesn't promise, mate. He really does not promise.
Go on.
Okay, ready? Are you ready? This is Don McAllister. Not a lot.
You do know Paul Daniels wasn't from Liverpool, don't you, mate?
Wasn't he?
No, and he's not Don McAllister either.
I didn't.
Not a lot.
That's Paul Daniels, mate.
Yeah, I know. This is Screencast Online with Don McAllister. Not a lot.
Can I have that on a shirt?
I think if it was closer, he'd be offended.
Yeah.
Sorry, Don. It's just
offended about that.
That's so far away. That's closer to Genghis Khan, I think.
Don, yes, Paul Daniels is from Liverpool, isn't he?
No.
No, is he Yorkshire or Lancashire? He's not Liverpool, that's for sure.
No.
I feel really bad now. Sorry, Don.
Yeah, I don't know if you've offended Don, you've offended everybody in Liverpool.
Comments in the chat room, that's dreadful. Don's gone Japanese.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What the hell was that? That Leo Laporte's impersonation is far better. And everyone wants an impersonation of Will from Don.
Oh, I'll have to work on that one.
Work on that one for next week.
Go on.
I'll study some of your material. Middlesbrough, apparently. Paul Daniels was born in
Middlesbrough. Yeah, that's right. He's a Macam, isn't he? Is that
Manchester, is that?
No.
No.
Well, I don't know where it is. Where is it?
Middlesbrough, northeast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Liverpool's northeast as well, isn't it? No, it's northwest. That's northwest.
Country are you in, Will?
Bagel Tech. He's in which planet? Bagel Tech Geography with Will Green. Absolute quality, mate. You're awesome. You can come again.
Hello, this is Don McAllister.
Can I get that as a ringtone for my phone? I'll be making that into a ringtone. It'll be posted on the site. It'll be available. Don't worry. Bagel Tech impersonation, says Russ. I've got a pick. Did we even let you finish your pick, Will? Because it was crap, by the way.
I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, you've been using this for years. Honestly, years I've been using this. Wiccan Wheel of the Year, just to see what's coming up. And when I strip naked and dance around Bilbo's Abbey.
that surprised me, Will.
Have you got a date for that?
Well, it's coming up shortly. As I said, it's Lammas on the 1st of August, which is the first harvest. Festival of the First Fruits.
You're reading that.
I am reading that.
You don't know that.
No, I don't know that.
If an application from the iPhone store didn't tell you, you wouldn't know about it.
I tell you what, years ago...
That's how devout a pagan you are.
I'm not a pagan. I just find different religions interesting. And years ago, I went to this... it's down in Cornwall. There's a museum of witches and witchcraft and black magic. It was bizarre. And they had like little shrunken heads and hands and all sorts of stuff in there. It was amazing. And then there was that huge flood thing, and it got wiped out. The whole thing got... flooded down the river. But it was an incredibly spooky experience being in there. Yeah, it's I won't still go in. It's a witchcrafty museum in Cornwall.
Moving on. My pick. Do you remember Snake on the Nokia 3310?
Oh, the Snake, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. This is cool.
The snake went around, you picked the jewels up, and the snake got longer. And you couldn't touch yourself. Yeah, right. Well, there's an iPhone app. Snake 97 is available. It's 69p, and it's the snake game. But here's the best bit. It doesn't play it in like its own screen. The GUI for it is a series of Nokia phones. So you have the Nokia 3310, the 30... I can't remember what the one next to it is, but you know, the there you go. Snake 97. And the other one that's really important to get in today, because it's only cheap for the next couple of days, is if you're into high dynamic range photography, you need to go down to the website or the iTunes store, and you can get... Oops, that's a bit loud. You can get HDR Darkroom. It's a really good program. I downloaded the trial this morning. I had a play with it, and it is absolutely excellent. Really good algorithm for changing your image into HDR. If you've got any bracketed images, shove them through on the trial version. If you go to everimaging.com, you can get a trial for your Mac, so you don't have to pay for it. But at the moment, instead of being £80 in the Mac App Store, it's £8.99. And it really, for that kind of money, for HDR conversion tools, that's a really must buy, even if you're not that much into it. Keep it for the future, because that's the tenth of the normal price. All the other HDR imaging stuff that you'll find in the App Store that's any good is going to be around £100, so buy it. There you go.
I like that one pick, Ewan, with the snake game. I bet Nokia is really happy about it too, because they actually will be able to gain some back of their phone market.
Yeah, now I wonder if they've got the images under license for the screens.
Probably not.
But it does look very, very good. Lots and lots of fun.
I guess they did erase the Nokia emblem, so.
The other thing that started last week at the end of the photo show was Alex Fox came up with this idea of doing something called bagel rolling. Bagel rolling is where you turn up somewhere and you show an image of the Bagel Tech logo on your iPad or your iPhone or on a computer, and you take a picture. So Carl bagel rolled MI6 for us last weekend, but he's a bit of a pussy because he did it from the opposite side of the river. I want one inside the front door. Tone bagel rolled the F1 coverage off BBC. And there was some other people. Someone, Teresa, bagel rolled the Apple Store in her local town in Massachusetts. There you go. So the challenge is to get as many logos up in Dixon's or Curry's or in the Apple Store on the screens as you can, and take a picture of you with all the screens showing all the Bagel Tech logos. Whoever gets the most by the end of the month, I'm going to give them a copy of Wirecast next month. There you go. That's your challenge. But it's got to be a computer store, and there's got to be as many on there. Whoever's got the most number of screens next month is going to win a copy of Wirecast. That's the challenge.
What about like an internet cafe?
Same. Anything that's got computers in it. So you can do computer stores, internet cafes, anywhere.
Cool. I got an idea.
Whoever's got the most screens on at one go with the Bagel Tech logo or front page on gets a copy of Wirecast. Last word. As ever, the people that we love, we support them a little bit, and they support us an awful lot, is UK2.net. They pick up our bandwidth, our hosting charges, everything. The Bagel Tech is supported by UK2, and it would live and die without. I mean, they really are helping us. They've also stepped in and helped Don McAllister. He's got all his stuff going over to them, as well as, and they're super fantastic and gorgeous. They pick up our bandwidth charge at the end of the month, which would be really kind of stupid if we didn't have them doing it. And they don't complain. Here's the best bit as well, though. If you want to go and get anything from them, you go to our homepage, bageltechnews.com, and you scroll down to the bottom. You'll find the UK2 logo there. Click on that. There's a tracking link that means that they know that we've sent you. So even if you just want to sign into your account, use that link. They're very happy for you to do that. They can see you then as a returning customer, because they can track where you go on their site. If you go and buy something, then when you get to your checkout, all you've got to do is type in the offer code BAGELTECH in the coupon code thing, one word, and you can get 15% whatever it is in your cart. The thing that's really ridiculous is we've had another call from them this week that people have been going to buy stuff through the link from the Bagel Tech website, getting to the cart and not putting the offer code in, and not getting the 15% back. For God's sake, please, people, do it. They want you to have it. They ring us to tell us that you haven't been doing it. That's how much they want you to have it. So please support UK2, because every penny UK2 make out of Bagel Tech listeners via that link goes into supporting us and keeping us afloat and keeping us on air. We'd be lost without them. Please, please, please support them. They're worth every bit of it to us. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, which is where I have my weekly video show, which is
Screencast. No, video sounds much better, mate. Snappier.
Or over on Twitter as Don McAllister.
There's not a lot there. But
what?
It's not a lot there.
There's tons.
Not a lot.
No.
And you've been supported by UK2 now as well. They're sponsoring you.
Yes, I've got a little teeny weeny tiny UK2.net link at the bottom of my footer, which is all they wanted, and they've furnished me with this really smart server to put the site on. So, and it absolutely goes like, well, I could describe it in certain terms, but it goes very fast.
Stink.
Yes, that'll do. I was thinking more of a shovel, but really goes very, very fast. I'm really pleased with it. I've got all my systems on there. So the main website's on there, the forum's on there, my e-commerce system's on there as well. So all the membership stuff runs off there now as well. And it's going really, really well. Very pleased with it.
And if Bagel Tech listeners want 50% off Don's joining fee, then all they've got to do is use the offer code Bagel Tech when they sign up at Screencast Online. Use the link on our homepage and you're there. Thanks, Don. Much appreciated, mate.
Thank you.
Kyle, where can we get you?
Well, before I do, I just want to say, Don, it's been fantastic working with you over the last 6 months. If you don't come back, good luck to you. You can find me at kyleswagger.com. You can find everything over there. Twitter, all of it. Flickr, it's all over there. kyleswagger.com.
Cheers, mate. Andrew, cruising about the Cotswolds in your van.
Yeah, I was going up the motorway a while back, and we went past this massive, great 4x4, and it was towing a little trailer. And the trailer had the Paul Daniels magic show written on it. And we overtook it. And sitting at the front of this huge great 4x4 was this tiny little Paul Daniels, like on 15 booster cushions and like holding this like oversized steering wheel. And he had all down the side, the Paul Daniels magic show.
You better hope he doesn't ever want Mac support.
Yeah. It was just, I thought, well, he's driving around in this big thing with a little trailer and in himself on the motorway. It was quite cute.
Chat room suggesting, Don, that if you're ever stuck for someone to do a voiceover again, Will may be able to help out.
Possibly not. I don't know. We'll see.
It'd be quite limited.
Well, if Andrew knows Paul Daniels, maybe the two of you should get in touch and reminisce about old Liverpool.
That constitutes knowing, doesn't it? Driving past someone.
Well, I've never driven past him, mate, so there you go.
This is Final Cut Pro 10. Not a lot.
It's funny because it's racist.
Hey, it's like not racist.
He's sort of if there was a Chinese ripoff of Screencasts Online, that would be it.
It would be Will.
If they Will is officially in China, there's another
he's officially,
site.
All these officially Kung Fu Panda
work for Don McAllister.
And finally, the last word of the show goes to Mr. Will Green. Hello, mate. Where can we get hold of you?
Do you remember what was that bloke used to be on with him? The bull German guy.
On with who? On with Don?
No.
Oh.
Paul Daniels?
Bald German guy. It was Debbie McGee, mate. She wasn't bald. Well, she might have been bald somewhere else, but she wasn't bald on
Hans
her head.
Hans Moretti.
Oh, I remember him with the tash. Hans Moretti, yes.
Yes. There's a thought, Don, if you want to co-host.
I wonder Ali Bongo, but that's about it.
I wonder what he's doing now. Maybe he'd love the gig, mate. You could get applications on Mac to do things they're not supposed to, and people could never replicate because it's magic. No? Go on then. Well, where can we get hold of you, mate?
You've upset Don now, haven't you?
No, you have. Trust me, it's not me.
What have I said?
All I said was Debbie McGee wasn't bald on top.
Yeah, well, all right, okay. I haven't upset you, ever, Don?
No, I've put you off because you're thinking Debbie McGee's bald underneath, aren't you?
Well, they married, didn't they?
Yes. What, Hans Moretti?
I'm just a little bit concerned, though, Will, that, you know, your scheme to repurpose all my screencasts. I hope you're not overdubbing them in my accent. You know, that's the only thing.
It will be, with a few magic tricks as well.
I'll check I'll check Pirate Bay right now for you, Don.
Yeah. Chat room saying, was he the guy that used to stand in front of the crossbows? Hans Moretti. And the other comment is, Debbie wasn't a true blonde. How do you know that? Have you seen her trailer as well?
She wasn't in the car with him.
She wasn't in there?
No.
Oh, there's no point in.
He was traipsing up the M6 by himself.
I've seen her black gloves and boots and her five of spades. Steve. Oh, Debbie McGee's five of spades. There you go. That's the show title sorted. You know that thing I was going to tell you about afterwards? I'm pretty sure it ain't going to happen now.
You weren't having Paul Daniels as a guest, were you?
No, it's far worse than that. Right, we'll be back again next week without any sponsorship to do Bagel Tech Mac at 1 o'clock on a Friday. The Yule gang's all here, yeah? Everyone's back? Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes. Oh, no, and, I'm on holiday next week.
All right, well, we'll get someone else.
Yeah.
Don't go, Andrew. No, stay.
Andrew, we'll make sure that we'll, you know, at least get your hairstyle.
Just get somebody with an equally in-depth knowledge of what...
Are you only away 1 week or are you back the following week?
I'm back the following week.
Rightio. We'll have someone keeping your seat warm then until you return to us, mate. Have a word with Bobby, see if he can come in for us, mate. Could you have a word?
Could I have a word?
Yeah.
I could have a word.
With Mr. Robert, because you've got his phone number.
I haven't got his phone number, but I've got his email.
Good man. We'll hit him from two angles. Pincer movement, mate. We'll get him on the show next Friday.
Hans Moretti, that's what you want.
We'll have Hans Moretti on if we can't. Absolutely.
Yeah, but then I don't get to be on the show with Bobby.
Well, Bobby's... Well, you get to see him. You get to fix his... You get to fondle with his parts, don't you? So...
I guess so. It's
going to
be some perks,
isn't
it?
Exactly. Fondling with Bobby Lou's parts. We'll be back again next week. Have a good week. And I hope there's some more Mac news to talk about, because otherwise it'll stop us talking about Hans Moretti. Au revoir. Magicpedia says that Hans Moretti's got 18 entries.
What is it with you and inches today?
I don't know.
Your inches are obsessed.